This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, most of us have seen TV commercials for products that we already use and already buy. And yet, these products want to keep us as customers. So the people who produce these products will try to keep our attention by telling us every so often that their products are new and improved. But you know what? Sometimes we don't want the new because we think the old is better. Let me give you an example of this. Most of us here today who are in our mid-30s or older can remember back to the mid-1980s when Coke Classic was replaced with New Coke. Raise your hand if you remember that tumultuous time. Yes, the New Coke was supposed to be an improvement over the old Classic Coke. But it didn't take long for the outcry to begin. That's right, most people hated the new Coke, and they demanded that the old Classic Coke be brought back. Well, they did bring back the old Classic Coke, and for a little while, you could buy both of them in the grocery stores. The old Classic Coke, and right next to it, the new Coke. However, the new Coke sold so poorly that they eventually stopped making it. And ever since that time, you can't buy new Coke anywhere. Well, at the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "No one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is better." Now, what is Jesus trying to teach us here? Well, let's examine today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 5, and we'll find out. In fact, as I said earlier, today I continue my sermon series on the Gospel of Luke, and today's text is specifically Luke chapter 5, verses 33 through 39. Now, it's important to note that this part of Luke's Gospel refers to a time in history immediately after the event when Matthew, the tax collector, was converted to faith in Christ. You might remember my sermon on that on April 1st. Well, remember also that after Matthew was converted, he gathered together other repentant sinners, sinners who confessed their sins, trusted in Jesus for forgiveness, and learned from his teaching how to live a new life. Matthew gathered them all together, and they were feasting, and Jesus was at the center of their celebration. Well, you might remember that when the Pharisees saw this, they were offended. You see, they couldn't understand why Jesus would hang out with sinners who were supposedly not worthy of salvation. Now, why did the Pharisees think that they were not worthy of salvation? Well, remember, the Pharisees had this confused idea that in order for God to love you and forgive you, you had to be worthy. And you would make yourself worthy by obeying God's commandments and by observing and practicing various religious rituals. Religious rituals like fasting. Now, please understand something. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with obeying God's commandments. As Christians, we ought to obey God's commandments. We ought to avoid the sin he condemns. We ought to practice the good that he commands. Nor is there anything wrong with practicing various religious rituals. Many religious rituals are fine and they help us in our devotional life. You see, the problem with the Pharisees is that they thought obeying God's commandments and practicing religious rituals were things you would do to earn God's mercy and love. They didn't understand that we do these things in response to the free gift of salvation that God gives to us for Jesus' sake, even though we're not worthy. Well, these confused Pharisees noticed that Jesus was eating with sinners. And they said to him, "Hey Jesus, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours, they go on eating and drinking." Did you catch that? The Pharisees noticed how those who were following Jesus were feasting with him. In contrast, the Pharisees practiced a regular regimen of fasting. And they did this as a way of showing their dedication to God. So here's what they're wondering. If Jesus really is the Messiah, if he really is the promised Savior, then why don't his disciples fast to show their dedication to God? Good question. Here's Jesus' response. He says, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast." Now pay attention, because Jesus says a couple very important things here. First of all, Jesus is pointing out that people fast when they're sad and not when they're happy. Think about it. When do you lose your appetite? Usually during times of stress or times of mourning, especially when you lose a loved one who has died. It's during those times that we tend to lose our appetite and fast. But during times of celebration, Thanksgiving, Christmas, a wedding, well, that's when we feast. So what's Jesus trying to tell us here? He's saying that those who were following him were celebrating. They were celebrating the fact that their sins were forgiven. They were celebrating the fact that their Savior was with them. He was even sharing a meal with them. Of course they were not going to fast. They were feasting. They were celebrating. In fact, Jesus says something else that's very important. Don't miss this. He calls himself the bridegroom. Why is that important? Well, this is just one of many ways that Jesus claims to be God himself. You see, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find out that on several occasions, God refers to himself as the bridegroom and to his people as his bride. So do you get it? Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, "Hey guys, my people can't fast right now because God himself is with them. I am with them. God is in their midst. I am in their midst. They have to celebrate. They have to feast." But Jesus then mentions that a time will come when they will fast because the bridegroom will be taken from them. What is he referring to? Well, you know. He's referring to the time when he will be arrested and tortured and crucified and murdered. Then those who follow him will fast. But of course, the Pharisees don't understand any of this because they refuse to let go of their old ways. And what are their old ways? Their old ways of thinking are simply that, hey, if God's going to love you and forgive you, then you have to be worthy. You have to obey his commandments. You have to practice various religious rituals like fasting. In short, if you want God to love you and forgive you, you got to be like us Pharisees, not like those sinners with whom Jesus is eating. Now, why did they think this way? Well, it all comes down to the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. You might remember in our readings, we heard about the New Covenant versus the Old Covenant. Now, let me explain to you briefly what this means so you can understand what Jesus is trying to teach the Pharisees in our Gospel reading. First of all, the New Covenant really isn't new. It's as old as creation itself. The new covenant is about God's plan to save sinners through Jesus and his work alone. The new covenant is about being saved by grace, God's grace alone. What's the old covenant? Well, the old covenant started when God rescued his people from Egypt and then started giving them various earthly promises about a land they would receive in what we now know as Israel. And here's how the old covenant was different from the new covenant. The old covenant, first of all, was conditional. If Israel wanted to go to the land, they had to obey certain rules, certain commandments from God. If they did not obey those commandments, they would lose their place in the land. Secondly, the old covenant was also a covenant that contained pictures. Pictures that pointed ahead to the coming Savior, who was the reality, the source of our salvation. Thirdly, the old covenant was temporary. It was temporary because it was based on the nation of Israel and their place in the promised land. That was a temporary arrangement until the Savior would come and fulfill his work of salvation for all nations. You see, one of the main purposes of Israel is that through the nation of Israel, the Savior would come into the world. But once Jesus was born, lived, died, and rose again, the purpose of Old Testament Israel ceased to exist. But here's what you need to understand. The reason the Old Covenant was called the Old Covenant was not because it was actually older than the New Covenant. It was called old because it was not as important as the New Covenant. You see, the New Covenant is not new because it came into being later. It's new because it's different. It's a different kind of covenant. The New Covenant is based on grace and grace alone, and it has to do with our salvation. The Old Covenant had to do with Israel and its place in the Promised Land. And its place in the Promised Land was conditional on their obedience. But when Israel was disobedient, they lost the right to stay in the Promised Land. But here's what you need to understand. The Old Covenant never, ever, ever had anything to do with salvation and being forgiven. The Old Covenant never, ever had anything to do with eternal life with God. That was always the New Covenant. The New Covenant was about God giving us the forgiveness that we cannot ever earn or deserve. The New Covenant was about God promising us eternal life in the real promised land, the new creation. And that was an unconditional promise that we could not earn, but was ours as a gift because of Jesus and what he did for us. But sadly, the Pharisees got this all confused. They thought the Old Covenant was how you were saved. They thought the Old Covenant was the way to receive forgiveness and eternal life with God. And because the Old Covenant was conditional, they assumed they could earn their salvation if they just tried hard enough. Well, Jesus has sympathy on them. He doesn't want these Pharisees to go to hell. So Jesus gives them some practical examples from real life to show them how foolish they are. First of all, Jesus points out that no one in his day would sew a patch of new cloth on old clothing. Why? Well, when you would wash it, the new patch would shrink and rip the old clothing, and it would ruin the garment. In the same way, Jesus points out that no one would ever pour new wine into an old, worn-out wineskin. Why? Because when the new wine would begin to ferment and the gases would be released, the old, worn-out wineskin would burst and break. So what's Jesus trying to tell the Pharisees? Well, simply put, Jesus is saying that his new teaching cannot be combined with their old way of thinking. They simply don't go together. They need to repent of their old, wrong way of thinking and embrace Jesus' new teaching, which is really as old as creation itself. However, Jesus knows what they're thinking. He knows that no matter how much he talks about the new covenant, they're not going to listen to him because they foolishly think that the old is better. So Jesus says, "No one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is better." By saying this, Jesus is actually condemning the Pharisees for worshiping their old false ways and refusing to consider Jesus' new teaching. But once again, you need to understand that Jesus' new teaching is not really new at all. You see, the new covenant is actually older than the old covenant. In the very beginning, we find out that God's plan to love us is a pure gift by grace. And even after Adam and Eve sinned, his plan to save them was a pure gift by grace. Remember, the old covenant refers to the covenant that God gave Israel at Mount Sinai. It had to do with earthly promises, like the promised land, and it was conditional. But the problem with the old covenant is that the people couldn't keep it. Even though God said, "Here's the conditions of you staying in the promised land," they couldn't live up to those conditions. Why? Because they were sinners. And that's why our only hope of forgiveness and salvation is the new covenant, which has to do with God's unconditional forgiveness that he gives us because of Jesus. He's the only one who has been perfect and sinless. And he's the one who died in our place of punishment so that we could be forgiven. Because if salvation was based on our obedience, none of us would ever have a chance. But unfortunately, the Pharisees refused to accept this. They were convinced that the old covenant was better, even though they couldn't keep it. And so they even refused to consider Jesus' new covenant. Well, my friends, how does this all apply to us today? Well, we need to realize that things haven't changed that much. Still today, we can find people, even here in Jamestown, who are comfortable believing the old lies that they have always believed. And when they hear the ancient truth of Jesus, this truth seems like a new and a strange teaching to them. And so when people hear this new message of repentance and free forgiveness because of what Jesus did for us, their response is, "The old is better." For example, just go around the world today and you will find out that if people believe in God at all, they'll assume that God loves them and forgives them because they're worthy. They're good enough. For example, last Sunday, I wasn't here, but Dallas led the services. During adult Bible class, he showed this brief movie called 180. It is based on a guy doing an interview with people to find out not only their view about the sanctity of human life in regard to abortion, but he also talks with them about how they think they should be saved. Surprisingly, the people who did believe there was a God simply assumed initially that if they were to be saved, it would be because they were good people. But my friends, that's the old lie of the old evil foe. As long as we believe the old lie, we will see no need for the new covenant that's based on Jesus and all he's done for us. Let me give you an example of how anybody can be deceived by this lie. Over the years, I've talked with many people about how they think they can be forgiven and end up in heaven. And I've even talked to confirmed Lutherans. That's right, Lutherans who have supposedly been taught the correct teaching. Recently, I've asked confirmed Lutherans, how do you know that you're forgiven? How do you know for sure that you'll be saved? And do you know what some of these confirmed Lutherans have said to me? Well, Pastor, I keep most of the Ten Commandments. I try to be a good person. I know I'm better than other people around me. So hopefully God will consider all this and he'll accept me. Not one word about Jesus. Not one word about his death on the cross. It was all about them and what they've done and how they were supposedly worthy. Here we see how easy people can be led to embrace the old lie of the old evil foe and reject the even more ancient truth that is the new covenant, a different kind of covenant, a covenant based on Jesus and what he's done for us and the fact that he is willing to give to unworthy sinners the salvation and the forgiveness that they do not deserve. So my friends, what hope is there for people like us? Is it possible to teach us old dogs new tricks? No. It's not impossible, because nothing is impossible for God. If we go back to my April 1st sermon about Matthew the tax collector, you might remember that this was a guy who was in total bondage to the old way of thinking. He assumed there was no hope for him because he thought you had to be worthy of God's forgiveness and love. And Matthew had sinned so much that he assumed he could never do enough good things to make up for his sins. But then one day it all changed when Jesus walked up to him and said, "Follow me." By saying that, Jesus was saying to Matthew, "Matthew, I don't care how many sins you've done. I don't care how many horrible things you've been doing. I forgive you. I forgive you because I've taken your sins to the cross. There I will suffer the damnation you deserve so that you can be my child now and forever." And that new covenant good news changed Matthew's heart and gave him a new life. You see, that's what Jesus is trying to teach us today. The new is better. Don't hang on to that old evil way of thinking that's so common in this world. That old way of thinking that if there is a God, then he will love you and forgive you as long as you're good enough. That old way of thinking not only takes our eyes off of Jesus, that old way of thinking leads us to boast in ourselves and to lead us to think that we're better than others. Or it might lead us into despair because we assume that, wow, I've sinned too much and I can never be as good as other people, so there's no hope for me. You see, that's where this old way of thinking leads. It either turns us into arrogant Pharisees or it leads us to despair because we think we'll never be good enough. But here's the good news, my friends. The new covenant says, you're right. You're not good enough. If God were to give you what you deserve, you'd be in hell right now. But here's the good news. Through Jesus, you are forgiven. Through Jesus, you are holy in God's sight. This is the new covenant, which is ancient as creation itself. This was always God's plan to save sinners. Through Jesus and his work for us. In closing, I'd like to remind you of what Jesus said about his disciples when they were feasting with him. They were feasting because they were celebrating. Jesus was with them. A little later after that, when Jesus was crucified, they fasted because they were in mourning. But then when Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to them, they feasted again. They realized their Lord had risen. Their Lord who had died for their sins was alive. It was all true. And they celebrated. Well, remember what Jesus said at the end of Matthew's gospel? He said, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Guess what, my friends? We don't have to mourn. Jesus is with us. He is risen. In fact, today, we feast with Him. In fact, we feast on Him because today He gives us His own body and blood in this holy meal to assure us that we are forgiven, that we are His people, that we will be with Him forever. My friends, the new is better. And so we live our lives celebrating the fact that we are God's dearly loved and forgiven children. We live our lives celebrating the fact that we have been set free from sin and that we get to live to the glory of God, all because of Jesus and everything He has done for us. So the next time the devil tempts you to go back to the old sinful way of thinking, remember, the new is better. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.